Welcome everyone to Brighteon Conversations. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, the YouTube alternative for free speech videos. And today I'm joined by a great guest, Ty Bollinger from The Truth About Cancer and The Truth About Vaccines. You talk about two topics that are on everybody's minds right now. We're gonna cover today with Ty the vaccine lockdowns, the weaponization of the vaccines themselves, not only the lockdowns and the economic punishment that's being wielded against the American people, but much more, even some current events and maybe a few comments about the election situation. So Ty, welcome. It's great to have you on the show. It's been a while since we've done an interview, probably long overdue, but it's great to have you.
Yeah, it is long overdue. Thanks, Mike, for having me on, and looking forward to a good conversation today. Always enjoy our talks. And yeah, I guess it's been a few years since we got together for an interview. And I want to thank you for all that you're doing. I was telling you off the air, man, your situation updates every day are just, they're like diamonds, man. You get gold and diamonds from that stuff. It'd take you hours and hours other places. So really appreciate what you're doing. And you really are doing a great service to people to wake them up and to help them to get all this information. Because these are interesting times we live in, man.
Oh, yeah, they are very interesting times for sure. Yeah, thanks for your comments on that. The thing is, we keep in touch. It's just that we never talk formally on camera that much.
Right. Oh, yeah, sure. We do a lot of the signaling and that kind of thing. But it's been a while since we've been together. So it's great to talk to you again, you know, on camera here.
Absolutely.
And do you remember on another topic, just real quick, yeah? since we're buddies and we can do this. Do you remember when I was interviewing you there at your location and the bees kept coming after you? That was for when it was for the Global Quest.
There was wild honeybees in some Nepal cactus beside the house there.
Yes. Yeah. I still remember the bees. It was like the attack of the bees. And you just stayed focused and you got all the information out despite the fact that there was bees all over the place.
Well, I'm not afraid of bees. They're pollinators. They're our friends. You know, they were cool. And frankly, they don't do anything unless you panic and start swatting at them, and then they go nuts. But you know, if you just chill, my grandfather was a beekeeper, and since you brought it up, he would go out and harvest wild bee colonies without even wearing a bee suit. He'd just go out there, bare skinned, you know, with a John Deere hat on, and just pick up a whole hive with his bare hands.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Isn't it interesting though, when you know talking about you're all into the superfoods and clean foods and. And that's one of the best foods on earth, isn't it? Is to get honeycomb.
I mean, oh yeah, absolutely. Or just raw honey. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real honey, not that corn syrup watered down crap that they sell at the grocery stores these days. Yeah. Real honey. Okay. Well, and also, you know, it stores for hundreds of years. Literally, it's a barter item. It's a first aid item. It's antibacterial on your skin. It's a sweetener and a food. I mean, what else can you ask for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You got the honeycomb, the propolis, you got the raw honey. I mean, it's good stuff. It's a food you could actually live on. If you had nothing but honeycomb and honey, you could live for a long time. Probably be a lot healthier than the crap people are eating today, too.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into what's happening right now. I noticed that all this time, during the COVID lockdowns, we were told by all the authorities that the moment the vaccine is available, that you, the people, you'll have your freedom back. You're going to be able to travel. You're going to get on airplanes. You're going to go to the mall again. I don't know who misses that. You're going to go to sporting events. And now that the vaccine or various vaccines are starting to become available, we've got Dr. Gupta on MSNBC now saying, well, even if you take the vaccine, you could still get infected. You can't travel. You got to wear a mask. And we're all like, WTF, man. What are you talking about? See, we knew it was a lie the whole time, right? Go ahead.
We all knew it was a lie the whole time. And first it was 14 days to stop the spread. And now we're going on 9 to 10 months. And now they're talking about vaccine. But even if you get the vaccine, which is horrible in and of itself, the mRNA vaccine, but then you're probably going to need to continue wearing a mask and social distancing for maybe another couple years. So we never believed that. I wrote a book, Mike, and you wrote the preface on it. It's called The Monumental Myths of the Modern Medical Mafia and the Mainstream Media. And why would anybody believe what we're being told? They've lied to us consistently over the last decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, our entire life, I guess, Mike. We've been lied to by the media and the medical establishment. So why would we believe them now? Of course, everything they say is lies.
Yeah. And I saw that the American Medical Association just rescinded its attacks on hydroxychloroquine. Oh, what timing? Right after the FDA had emergency approval of the vaccines, and you can only do that if there's no other therapeutic that's known to work. So then now the AMA reverses their position on hydroxychloroquine. In other words, they allowed people to die just to make sure that these vaccines could get emergency authorization. That's how corrupt and criminal-minded they are. They kill people for profit, no question.
Yeah, and you know the interesting thing is they always project on us what they're guilty of, so we get called quacks. They're the quacks. That's quack science. You know, not publishing studies about the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine, and there's other treatments as well that have been suppressed. And the reason that they're being suppressed is because, as you said, FDA couldn't give emergency authorization if there was an alternative to the vaccine. So they were suppressed
Right.
until the vaccine got approved, and now they're saying, "Oh, wait, by the way, this does actually work." And the reality is, we have a virus that has what 99.7-ish survival rate.
Or better in groups under 50.
Right. It depends
Yeah.
on upon your age.
Yeah.
But even let's say it was just that across the board. Why do you need a vaccine for something that 99.97% of people survive? It doesn't make sense. This is the pandemic that you have to get tested to know that you're sick, and you know you have to get forced the vaccine then. And there's and look at if you look at the statistics, and I know you mentioned this on a couple of podcasts ago, but if you look at the deaths, just the overall deaths, and not just the U.S., I saw some statistics yesterday from Canada. Canada actually is going to have less deaths this year than they did in 2019, and the U.S. is going to be right on pace with 2019. So there's it's a pandemic, but we don't know there's a pandemic because people aren't dying in excess numbers. I'm not saying that
Right.
coronavirus might not have been implicated in the deaths of some people. But it's certainly no pandemic.
Well, I agree. I agree that there are no excess aggregate deaths. But what did happen, we know there were excess deaths just in the last half of March and the first half of April. That peak was New York City. And the reason it peaked in New York City was because Cuomo is a mass murderer. And he was putting the elderly people, stuffing them into nursing homes with other sick people to get the numbers. So in other words, those aren't natural deaths. It's equivalent to leading, I mean, I almost hate to bring this up, but leading Jews into the gas chambers to kill them with a Zyklon B. Well, now it's just COVID-19. You lead them into the nursing homes, you get the numbers, and then the Democrats use those death numbers, which started dropping off right after mid-April, by the way, and have consistently gone down ever since. But they use those numbers then to justify mail-in ballots. And then the mail-in ballots was how they cheated. When Trump won on election day, but then they say, "Oh no, we found more ballots. Oh, look, there's more ballots over here." Magically, ballots out of the air over here for 2 weeks. Totally rigged, totally cheated. COVID was all about cheating in the election. I mean, they killed people to gain power. Political power. That's how evil they are.
They are evil. It's really this is a fight of good versus evil. You're right, Mike. And I started to COVID didn't make sense. The knee-jerk reactions that we were getting across the nation to close down things and to stay put and social distance and wear masks and just the seeming lack of regard for the well-being of other human beings. Now, not that these governors that did this are good people, but it's like, why are they doing all this? There's got to be something that I'm missing. It didn't make sense. But then when you look at it from the perspective of it was really about the election. It was about closing down so they could have an excuse for these millions and millions of mail-in ballots so they could commit mail ballot fraud and steal the election and get Biden in so they could usher in the Great Reset. And then it starts making sense. And then, you know, you start looking at all these puzzle pieces are connected. We didn't know. All we saw was these puzzle pieces all over the floor at the first of the year. But
Right.
slowly over the course of the last 8 to 9 months, we've been putting this puzzle together and it's starting to paint a picture. And the picture is Biden in office for the Great Reset. And that's the goal because it's the China virus. Trump calls it the China virus. And it also, as you mentioned in one of your recent updates, China gained a controlling interest in Dominion just a little over 2 months ago.
Right, and then Biden is the China puppet candidate, and of course China runs the censorship algorithms of big tech. They actually build them. I mean, they're programmed by Chinese CCP members who are working for Facebook, and then China controls the media. They pay hundreds of millions of dollars to the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, whoever, to run Chinese propaganda pieces. It's not some theory. That's well known. It's admitted. I mean, they just take money to run China, pro-China news stories.
It does. And I was talking to someone a couple days ago about that. And if you were to write out all that's happened, the way that everything is connected, and this looks like one huge big conspiracy that's real. And if you submitted this to like to make a Hollywood movie out of it, they'd probably say it was overboard. Like there nothing could be this obvious. Like there's too much stuff. You got to take some out of it because it's too obvious. And that's where we are now with the involvement of China and with the way that everything's connected to get Trump out of office and then to continue destroying the country. That then it all makes sense now when you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, let me ask you. Looks like you're in a truck of some kind. Are you on the road? Is that what's going on?
I am for two reasons. Number one, I like to record when I'm on the road because, as you've been to our house, we live way out in the country in northern Tennessee. I don't have good internet, so when I try to record from home, it's very choppy and it's frustrating. So I typically will try to get out where I have a good strong cell signal and do it on my phone. So that's one of the reasons. But another reason that I'm on the road is I just drove down to a place down here in northern Alabama where they're working on my 50 cal. I'm getting it back to work functional order.
Oh, cool. So is it a bolt action or a semi-auto? What is it?
It's a bolt action. It's just a it's nothing fancy. I don't even have a scope on it at this point. I bought it from a friend, a friend that I wrote a book with, Dr. Michael Farley, who is now deceased, unfortunately. Mike was a good friend, Dr. Farley. He was friends with people that actually built these 50 cals. And so I got it through Dr. Farley many years ago, and I've never got it properly bedded, but I figured this is a good time just in case I need to shoot through a tank.
Yeah, or somebody's engine block or something. Yeah, so okay, so you're going to take that back home. Warning, don't mess with Ty. He's got a 50 cal and
And
probably.
if you and Mike, you've been up there because I remember we went up there to our house and we have that upper level that you can go out on that balcony and you can see all over the whole property. That's a very steep slope and very defendable property.
That's true. You have kind of like a castle set up there. You know, you could pour boiling oil down the hill.
We're going to try the tar and feathers first, boiling oil second, but if that doesn't work, I'm just going to blow them up with a 50 cal.
There you go. All right. Well, self-defense is, you're right.
There
But
you
you know,
go.
the funny thing is, you know, you and I are both really well prepared compared to most people. But it's very unlikely that any kind of uprising would ever make it to where we are, because we're pretty far out in the country, both of us, in different ways. Most of the action would probably take place in Democrat cities, you know, just liberal cities. And in fact, if Trump invokes the Insurrection Act, which seems fairly likely at this point, you're not going to see troops everywhere. You're going to see troops in Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Atlanta. You know, they're probably going to be there to seize the ballots and the Dominion machines. So if Antifa rises up there, that's the Marines, you know, it's not going to be a big deal.
But what's interesting, Mike, one of the things that you said about it's probably not going to happen in the country. I agree. It's going to be in the larger cities because the country folk are prepared. And I'm amazed at how many people actually know what's going on because you think, you know, you wonder sometimes, Mike, and I know you share this with me. It's like, how many people are really awake? I mean, how many people really get what we get? Because sometimes you think that maybe we're just a very, very small minority. And I'm starting, my mind's starting to change on that. I talked to a delivery driver last week with UPS that we started talking, and he's like, "Hey, you know about the Insurrection Act of 1807?" And he's talking about this stuff. And then this guy that I just went to take my 50 cal to, we started talking, and he said, "Yeah, you know, I'm hearing that in the next few days, we're going to get a report from the Director of National Intelligence. His name's John Ratcliffe. I don't know if you've heard of him." I'm like, "Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about." And he said that he's got to submit a report within 45 days. And at that point, there's possible military options, and there's a lot of different paths that Trump has. And I'm like, "Dude, you're preaching to the choir. This is great. You get it too." So I'm starting to think that there's a lot of people all out here across the United States, especially in rural areas, that are like, they're totally on board with what's happening here.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. There's so much out there now. People are aware and awake like never before. But I do want to mention just on a personal note because, you know, you have a 50 cal. I own a 50 cal. It's not my favorite rifle. I actually prefer this 300 Win Mag semi-auto made by Nemo Arms. It's a little more practical and still does plenty of damage. People don't realize that you and I both, unless they've seen us in person, both you and I are pretty big guys. And I remember when I saw people in person, I think speaking at your event a few years ago in Dallas, one of the most common comments, people come up to me and they say, "Oh, I didn't realize you were so big." You know? It was weird. Like they thought I was like a Tom Cruise height guy or something. You
No,
know,
he's
it's
just
just,
alone, right?
yeah, right. I mean, I don't know. It's not, it doesn't matter what sizes people are, but when it comes to firearms, it does, because if you're going to handle the recoil from a 50 cal, you need to be like 200 plus pounds, basically, right?
You better have that thing snug up against your shoulder, or you're gonna have a big bruise.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't be like, 175 pound, super athletic small guy. Those guys are great for scouting and other types of rifles, but they're not carrying 50 cals. No.
No. And yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned our size, because yeah, I remember the first time I met you in person, it was like 2014, when we first did the first interview for the Quest for the Cures, when I came up there and I was actually the first interview that I ever did on a whole documentary series that then took off from there. I remember thinking, man, this guy's pretty big, because you never know when people are on the internet. So yeah, we're about the same size. You were you about 6'2"?
Yeah, we're close to that. Yeah, 6'1" something, but yeah, we're pretty close to the same size. But you bulk up big sometimes. I mean, you've done a lot of bodybuilding in your life, right?
Yeah, I was a competitive bodybuilder through college. I went to Baylor, and in 1988, 89 time period, I got there in 86. So about 88, 89, I started competing in bodybuilding contests. And I competed all the way until the mid-90s when Charlene and I met. And then I
Wow.
stopped at that point. But I competed for about 6, 7 years consistently across Texas. And I was pretty successful. I won most of the major contests across Texas. I was one contest away from pro qualification. And then actually what happened is I became a Christian. And I was very convicted at that point that I should stop using steroids, because I was really heavy into steroids. And so you can't compete. People that tell you that they're at that level without steroids are just lying. They're not. They're all using. And plus, we wanted to have a family. I was like, yeah, I can't use steroids anymore. So that's kind of what
Right.
happened. That put an end to my bodybuilding career.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I've never tried using steroids, but I've never been a person who would actually bulk up in terms of like raw muscle. I've always been like a, I don't know, more of a thinner, leaner guy, but just big. Tall, you know what I mean?
But you're very, very athletic though. But yeah, it's good. And who knows how much of this athleticism we might need, or you need to stay in physical shape too. It's not important just to be prepared with food and all that. You need to stay in physical shape and be ready to use the any weapons that you have, right? So you
Yeah.
need to be prepared in that manner too. It's not just storing food and having bullets, it's being ready to defend and being in shape to defend. So that's one of the reasons I stay in shape as well.
Yeah. I do the same thing. I walk my goats every day. Goats love to walk. They like to range, and they eat leaves and different briar patches and things like that when you walk with them. And for the last couple of months, I've just been wearing my a chest rig with all my ammo magazines and everything on the chest rig, walking my goat just to get used to wearing the chest rig in case I have to. But if someone were to see that, it's like, who's this survival nut walking goats? Like, what is this? What's going on here, man?
One of the things that I'll remark about that, and one of the things I want to say is that shows that you walk the talk, right? I was talking to my brother about you a couple days ago, because he's become, I said, a big fan, listens to the podcast every day, the Situation Update. And I said, one of the things about Mike you got to know is this guy is legit. I said, there's a lot of people that are in our sector that don't practice what they preach. And I said, Mike is absolutely practices everything he preaches. I was like, every time I've been to his place there in Texas, we'll have the avocado smoothie. He's armed. I mean, just everything he talks about doing, he does. And so
Yeah,
I think that's,
proof of concept right there.
there's one of
Ammo
your
and
there's one of your
smoothie.
smoothies, and there's a mag.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and so that's one of the things about you that I think is so impressive, and people can they can get they feel that energy from you. And I think that's one of the reasons that you resonate with so many people, is they're like, this guy's a real deal. He's not just saying this because it's going to draw a big crowd and then he's going to back end us with a bunch of sales or something. He's doing this because he loves people, he loves the country, and he practices what he preaches. So I think that's one of the reasons that your podcasts have taken off so much, is because you do practice what you preach.
Well, let me ask for your assessment. You've been listening to the podcast, and also you've got a lot of sources yourself. I'm not going to mention who they are. I know who some of them are. There you go. Yeah.
It's just a nine.
Is that a nine? Yeah, okay.
It's a nine, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like those thumb safeties, though, because I don't want to have to think about that. It's like, is it on or off? But no, yeah.
I'm with you. I don't like the thumb safety either. I don't either.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, I carried a Glock for many years, and then I switched over to SIG because I really, well, I like the SIG mechanics better, and then SIG's got that P365 that's 11 rounds in a little mini subcompact format that you can even wear on your ankle. That's pretty amazing.
Hey, you know, while we're talking weapons, I just got a hold of my brother down in San Antonio, got me one of these. He got one for himself too. And I don't even remember the model. It's an Israeli 12 gauge that's semi-automatic.
Yeah.
I know you've heard of that.
Yeah. 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 Tavor, IWI.
One of those? And it's got the three different four. I think it's got three revolvers that hold four, and you flip them one to the next to the next to get to 12.
Yeah. Well, when I came to speak at your event in Dallas, I had I think it was a DP-12 in my hotel room there.
Did you?
Yeah, it carries like 16 rounds or something like that of shotgun ammo.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I guess
definitely
that was
you practice what you preach. You practice what you preach, man.
Yeah. Well,
be prepared.
And plus, you know, security teams and all that, but that just goes with the territory. But let me ask you though, where do you think? I mean, in your assessment, in terms of this election. And, you know, the January 6th date coming up, and like you said, you got DNI Ratcliffe about to issue a report this Friday. Trump may be ready to invoke the Insurrection Act, but not sure. What do you think's going to happen?
You know what? It's a good question. I personally, it's sometimes I have to bifurcate my emotions with what I think's really going to happen. Emotionally, I want Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act and just to crack down and arrest everyone and just clean house. Do I think that's going to happen? I don't know. I think it's 50-50. I think maybe what the path that we go is through the what you've been talking about the last few days with the alternate electors. We get to a situation where January 6th, Vice President Pence is able to reject the Democratic electors and accept those for President Trump, or however all that works. And then it eventually goes to the House, and the House each cast one vote per state. And I could see Trump winning that way. And I think that's probably the most likely thing that will happen. Do I think, in spite of the fact that we've seen all the military movement and all of the planes, and we have all this inside information that says there's going to be these mass arrests, I've just heard it for so long. I want to see it to believe it. I want to believe it. I want it to happen. We need to clean house. And if we don't clean house, none of this really matters. It doesn't matter if Trump gets in for four more years, if we don't clean house and get written. And he's got to, one of the things that he must do if we want this thing to get fixed, he's got to confiscate the assets of all the tech giants that are complicit with stealing this election. Because in order for the January 6th thing to matter, he's got to convince the public that he has won and that there was massive fraud. And so if he does not confiscate the assets of all of the complicit media, he cannot convince the American public. If he just, let's say he just went after, say, Facebook, and that's it, and left the rest of them alone. Well, then they're going to be spinning the narrative that Trump has now assumed the dictatorial position in the United States. He's a dictator. He's just confiscated the assets of Facebook, and he's like Hitler. And this is Nazi Germany all over again, and every Trump supporter is a Nazi. He has to confiscate all of the media so that he can then push out the message of what happened, convince the American public that there was massive voter fraud, that he's won the election. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Well, no matter what Trump does, he's going to be painted as illegitimate. And that's a key point to understand. And that's why he should go all the way. I agree with you. He should go all the way. You know, the media is complicit in interfering in the election. Big tech is absolutely complicit, mostly run by communist China and so on. There are bad faith actors all over America that rigged the election. And Trump does need to bring them down. And the 2018 executive order gives him the right to do that, plus other federal law and, you know, insurrection acts and, well, not just insurrection act itself, but I mean language about insurrection and rebellion under United States code and federal law, statutes and so on. So he could do all that. Now, I tend to think that you're absolutely right. He's got to convince the American people by January 6th that the election was stolen and rigged. But he could do that with a limited deployment of troops just to seize the ballot and the ballots and the machines. And at that point, he doesn't have to take down necessarily all of the tech giants at that moment. He can create the evidence. He can communicate directly to the American people through the national emergency broadcast system and also through the alternative media, which is now in many ways bigger than the mainstream media. So he can still, he could combine the Insurrection Act with the electoral vote on January 6th and win on January 6th. I mean, that's one possibility.
That's true, and that's a good point. You're right, and I'd say that's certainly a possibility that he doesn't go after all the tech giants and take down all the media, the mainstream media. Yeah, through the national emergency broadcast system, it would be the one time in our life that they've actually used the national emergency broadcast system for something good. You remember growing up, we'd always get those messages. This has been a test.
This has been a test
of the emergency broadcast. We've never had an emergency that's been broadcast. This would be the first. And he could use that. So, yeah, maybe that's what he has planned. It certainly appears that Trump has all of the different pieces in place to go after him. As much of a chess player as Trump is and as intelligent he is and the way he thinks through things, and he's three or four steps ahead of them typically, you know, I want to believe that he's ready to go do that. And he certainly has all of the pieces in place to take care of business and to communicate to the American public what's happened, and he's got to do that, and I hope and pray that he does. And we might see something by Friday. Well, I don't know when you're going to air this, but by the 18th December, that's when that report's due. I think that we'll start to see a bunch of dominoes fall after that.
Yeah, I think this interview is going to go live on Friday.
Okay.
So we'll see. But Ratcliffe's report may be classified. It's likely to be classified, so we won't
think we'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
Right.
But we'll see the ramifications of it. Technically, we could see Trump invoking the Insurrection Act as early as Saturday, if not sooner. I mean, the truth is Ratcliffe may have already issued his report. It just says he has to issue it no later than 45 days after the election, but it could have already been issued. And technically, Trump may have already issued an executive order or invoked the Insurrection Act secretly, and we just don't know about it yet because that's allowed too.
Yeah, and you're right. He may have already issued the report. We don't know.
Yeah.
And so that's a good point. Regardless, I think the main thing that has to happen between now and January 6th is that Trump has to act on what he's been planning. As I mentioned, he's a chess player, figuratively. I don't know if he physically plays chess, but he's playing a chess game. And I think he's ahead of the curve, and he knows what he's doing, but he needs to act. And I think that he will. I really think that he will. And I'd go as far as to say this. If Trump does not act at this point, I don't care what he's done for the first 4 years of his presidency, 3.75 years of his presidency, he's failure. Because this is the biggest attack that our nation has ever seen, at least in our lifetimes, and possibly in the history of the nation. This is the biggest attack. And his legacy will be determined by what he does now. And he's got to take down the traitors. He has to take down the traitors. And he can't allow an illegitimate actor that's owned by Communist China to take the presidency. It's his duty to act now. So he needs to act. Otherwise, he will be a failure as president. And look, I love Trump. And I think he's been great. But this is his Waterloo. But let's hope it turns out better than Waterloo.
Yeah, this is a get your face on Mount Rushmore moment. If he does invoke the Insurrection Act and he catches the deep state traitors and he saves the Republic, you know, this goes down in history alongside Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, frankly, right?
Yeah, it absolutely does. It puts him down as one of the top presidents ever, and he will be known as the president that saved the Republic. And the reason that he'll be known as that is because he has taken down the tech giants that can't then spin it and produce fake news and fake history narratives in the future that then the kids learn. We've got to take control of the narrative now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Let's bring in vaccines on all of this, because of course you've got the website thetruthaboutvaccines.com as well as thetruthaboutcancer.com, both really popular destinations for people. I encourage you to visit those. But about vaccines, you know, there's a lot of opinions really vary on this. You've probably heard some of my interpretation, but Operation Warp Speed, early on in the year, Trump was kind of bragging and touting that, oh, we're going to have vaccines in record time, even though Trump himself never wants to mandate vaccines, and he's no fan of Big Pharma. He knows Big Pharma is evil, by the way. But then the Army kind of took over Operation Warp Speed, General Perna, and he's like, oh, we're going to vaccinate everybody in the military, starting with Cyber Command. And then the Veterans Affairs off the VA, they said, oh, yeah, we're gonna vaccinate black people first. You know, it's like, so what's your take of what's going on with vaccines and especially the military?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's kind of hard to tell. It's almost like there's mixed messaging at times. We do know that President Trump's not in favor of forced vaccines. I know, Mike, you've talked to Charlene about this. She had a conversation with the president. She actually spoke to him on the phone when Marla Maples was visiting us during the summer, and they talked about vaccines. So we know that he will not force vaccines, and he's not a big proponent of vaccines. However, he's kind of having to play the pharma game, in my opinion, at this point, with Operation Warp Speed. I don't know, on the other side of the coin with Vice President Pence, I don't really know how he feels about vaccines or what his position is. I did see something yesterday that just made me cringe, because it's so inconsistent. He said, we have not skipped any of the critical steps in vaccine approval.
And I'm like, really?
How can you say that? You skipped animal testing. How can you say that you didn't skip anything when you skipped animal testing? There is no animal testing on this vaccine. And so I don't know how complicit he is or how much he actually knows. I do know that the COVID vaccine, whether they give it to the military first or not, it doesn't matter. If they give it to them first or last, whoever gets the vaccine first is going to have some side effects from it. We already saw, what was it, 21% of the Pfizer vaccine patients had some adverse events. They also manipulated the 95% effective.
Of course they did, yeah.
So that's completely bogus. That's just it's a made-up number. They can control that number based upon the number of cycles for the PCR test. You know that. I know that.
Yeah.
So that's completely made up. It's not 95% effective. And we've never had a vaccine that we know how effective it is. In the first 3 months. You have to look at long-term side effects, and they haven't studied that. So it's going to be dangerous. It's an mRNA vaccine. It's cultured and aborted fetal tissue. There's many reasons why my family and I will never take this vaccine, and that is our line in the sand. You come to stick me with that needle, I will. You come to shoot me with that shot, I will shoot you with something that's more potent.
Like that 50 cal? Perhaps?
Like a 50 cal. I'll take that arm right off.
Yeah. 50 calibers of return fire, you know.
The reality is, Mike, this, when we're talking about forced vaccines, I did an interview with an attorney out of Detroit, Allison Fomar, for the Truth About Vaccines docuseries that we put out several years ago. And she said, by definition, a forced vaccine is assault with a deadly weapon. It's assault and battery with a deadly weapon. And so you have the right to defend yourself if someone tries to force a vaccine on you. We won't take it, Mike. I know you're not going to take it. Many people have been snookered into taking it, to thinking that it's going to solve this problem, but we're already getting the CDC and WHO, they're saying, well, a vaccine may not cure anything. You're still gonna need a mask and social distance, and this might be in effect. Bill Gates says, well, it might be in effect for another 2 years. Why we look at that guy as the arbiter of how long we should stay socially distanced or wear masks, I have no idea. He's a software guy that's not even really that good of a software guy. He's more of a thief, and you know the story of Bill Gates, but why is he the vaccine expert? I don't know.
Well, you know, Windows gives us the blue screen of death, and Bill Gates' vaccine just gives us the black screen of death, I suppose. He's good at causing systems to crash, that's for sure. And he donated millions of dollars to infertility technologies. One of those that was tested in Africa was you would take a young man and you would put his scrotum inside an ultrasound receptacle and blast his testes with ultrasonic, you know, energy, and then he would be infertile for 6 months. And they thought that was awesome. You know, it's like, fry the balls of blacks. That should be the Bill Gates bumper sticker. Fry the balls of blacks. And we're not racist. You know, I mean, it's insane.
It is. It's like Planned Parenthood, right? So Margaret Sanger openly said we should get rid of black people because they're weeds and they're useless eaters or whatever she called them. But And if you look at like 70%+ of Planned Parenthoods are in black neighborhoods. They have clearly tried to target black people for extermination. But black people think that the liberal agenda supports them, that they care. They don't. They don't care about black people. Just look at what happened with Tuskegee. This is another Tuskegee, it sounds like you're describing.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, the VA wants to inject black people first and also Native Americans. Mm-hmm. So, and they say that they're doing so because black people were disproportionately impacted by COVID, they say. So then, I guess in answer to that, they want black people to be disproportionately affected by vaccine side effects to make it all even out. It doesn't even make any sense. I mean, shouldn't they, if they want to save black people, and I'm not saying they should do this, but wouldn't they announce, oh, we're going to test them on white people first, you know, to see what happens?
You would think so. And again, why do we believe people and groups that have consistently lied to us for the last several decades? When we look at the CDC and we look at the study on the MMR vaccine, 2001 to 2004, which was the whole basis for Vaxxed, they knew that the MMR vaccine was causing increased rates of autism in black baby boys, and they buried the data.
Yeah, they did.
They don't care about black babies. They killed and maimed caused autism in millions of black babies over that period of time that they knew the MMR vaccine was disproportionately targeting them, and they did nothing. They not only did nothing, they got together a whole bunch of trash cans at the CDC. Based upon Dr. William Thompson's testimony, they got trash cans together and threw away the data so that nobody would be able to know that black babies were getting autism at higher rates than white babies from the MMR.
But see, doesn't that sound exactly like Dominion voting machines? It's like the CDC, the science community runs the same frauds as the election systems. It's all rigged. Everything that you're told, you know, media lies, the censorship of big tech, the fake science, the fake vaccines, the fake history, the fake false flag attacks to try to take away your guns, all of it, it's all faked. And it's the same blueprint across the board. They just lie to you. They stage things. They manipulate your emotions. They punish you for trying to be free. And then at the end of the day, they tell you, sit down and shut up. You have to accept our fraud. You can't look into the voting machines, or you can't see the scientific studies, or you don't get to see the ingredients in this. It's insane. It's all black box everything.
It is. It's all fake. And you know, one of the things that I just saw this week that just blew me away, if this isn't proof to somebody that's on the fence, nothing will prove them. They blocked the courthouse there, or what was it, in Detroit? They
Michigan.
Would not let the GO,
yeah.
Was it, what was it?
Yeah, it was in Michigan. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, in Michigan, right? They wouldn't let him in to cast the electoral votes for Trump.
Yeah.
If that doesn't tell you that something's wrong, nothing will. And then we've had other areas where they've destroyed ballots. They're getting rid of ballots, putting them in shredders, right? They're ordering audits. I think it was in Michigan as well. They ordered an audit, but then they sealed the results so no one would know what they found.
Yeah.
Come on. If that's not enough to prove to you that there is crime going on, man, you've been smoking more crack than Hunter Biden. If you don't believe that,
that's hard to do.
That's a lot of crack.
Yeah, he's got a big budget for that. He's got like a Chinese connection for cash for crack. Yeah,
he does. Yeah, yeah. And you know, Mike, there. Speaking of Hunter Biden, they released those videos. I don't know if you've seen them, but they released them on a Vietnamese server at first. I don't know that anyone in the United States has them, but it's over in Vietnam, and I've seen the videos. That dude's sick, and he was doing stuff with underage girls too, and. Possible child rape. I mean, that guy is sick. He deserves to go to prison.
Clearly, he's sick. I haven't seen any videos of him engaged in child rape, but I can never erase from my mental imagery like a few seconds of a video that I saw that was put out by G News of Hunter Biden getting stroked off by the feet of a Chinese prostitute. It was like a foot job that he was getting. I was like, oh my gosh. And he was smoking a crack pipe, you know?
Oh yeah, smoking crack too.
Right, so I didn't need to see that. That's one too many, you know?
And you can't make this stuff up. If you were to tell me that, if we hadn't seen the video, I'm like, that's made up, man, that's over the top. It's not, it's on video. This dude was sick. He sold out the country. And look, if you have these sick things that you do in your own house, that's one thing. Okay, I don't really think it's any less sick at that point, but at least you're not endangering the safety of our country. You're
right.
Not selling out the United States to China. But when that money that he's getting is being funneled through China, and he's sold out to China. And his dad, the big guy, has been he China owns him. That's why they want him in the presidency, because they have so much. They have so many skeletons in the closet that they don't. He's not going to want them to release. He's in whatever they tell him. We can't let that happen.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to be allowed to happen. I think Trump will end up taking action. It'll probably be at the very last minute, is my guess. But maybe it'll never happen, and it'll just fall on we the people. But see, that's the other thing, is we should never put our absolute faith in another human being. We should also be ready to take responsibility for our own future. And that means we the people, we have to stand up and resist this election fraud, a communist takeover. And there are millions of Americans who are prepared to do exactly that. They're just giving Trump a chance to act first, basically.
Yep, they are. They are. There's millions of Americans that are ready. They're literally waiting for Trump to tell us what to do. Call up the militia, whatever he decides to get us involved. There's millions that are ready. You know, I was just talking to somebody yesterday about that, and I said, what do you think if Trump doesn't invoke the Insurrection Act and he doesn't take care of all this? He just kind of smiled. He goes, we're ready. So we're ready. It's time.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know that in the Insurrection Act, it says that the president can specifically call up both the militia and the U.S. armed forces. So he could call up both. He could say, hey, militia groups, you guard the White House, you know, or you help supply, you know, food to this community, while the military is going to go in there and take out all the deep state actors, you know, whatever. I mean, he could call up both groups and direct them what to do.
And you know, and Trump, I don't know if he realizes this, but this group of patriots and just supporters are more loyal and more ready and more capable than any group in the history of this country right now, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been this large of a group of patriots that are armed and ready to do whatever the commander in chief tells the military, or not being the military, but tells the military to do, and to support that and for us to help as well. He's got a huge group of supporters that will do what he tells us to do.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely true. Well, look, Ty, we're out of time for this interview today, but tell us, you know, what do you got going on next? Websites that people should check out or upcoming events? Kind of wrap it up with that, please.
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Always enjoy talking to you, brother. Best places to reach us are thetruthaboutcancer.com and thetruthaboutvaccines.com. I'm going to be working on a new cancer documentary for April, and so be working with that. And so I'll let you know some more details once all that gets settled. But be working on something new, and probably be contacting you for another interview.
Well, I got to tell you that there's going to be a new golden age once we get Trump a second term, because taking down the deep state also means eventually taking down big pharma. And then the information that you've been researching for many years and that I've been publishing. This is what's going to set humanity free. Nobody needs to die from cancer ever again, nor any infectious disease. And we don't need vaccines to accomplish that. So defeating the deep state opens that door for us to help humanity save itself and live without suffering. And that's exactly what the deep state doesn't want. They feed off suffering. They don't want people to be free and healthy. That's for sure.
They don't. And you know what? It's an exciting time to live. Right now, where we're at, God's put us here for a reason. And I know, Mike, that God's put you there for a reason. He's put me here and Charlene and our team and just a lot of our friends in this area, the patriots, the freedom lovers, people that are into natural health. We're here for a reason. And this is the time that we're going to see why God's put us here on earth. There's no doubt in my mind. And so just really, really happy to be on this mission with you, brother. And happy to see what unfolds these next few weeks, and we always support you and are really proud of what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Ty. I'm honored to be your friend and colleague in all of this effort. You're doing amazing work, and so is Charlene. I should probably invite her on for an interview as well because of what she's doing.
She'd love that.
A whole different universe of other areas of being highly effective as well. But tell her hi from all of us here at Natural News and Brighteon, and thank you so much for joining me today, Ty. You're a great American patriot. Just get that 50 cal ready. You might need it.
Thanks, Mike. You're a great American and a patriot too, brother. Love you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. You too, Ty. Take care. Survival Nutrition is our new free audiobook that you can download right now from survivalnutrition.com. In this nearly 8-hour audiobook, you will learn life-saving secrets of how to use food, nutrients, plant molecules, trace minerals, and chemical compounds to save your life, even in a total collapse scenario. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I'm the author of Survival Nutrition. I founded and run a multi-million dollar food science laboratory, and I'm the author of the best-selling science book, Food Forensics. I'm also a prepper, a patriot, and a survivalist. I can teach you how to survive what's coming by growing your own food, medicine, and antibiotics that can help keep you healthy and alive even during the worst of times. At survivalnutrition.com, you'll be able to instantly download the full free audiobook as MP3 files. Keep a copy of all these files on your local hard drive and print out the full guide just in case we lose the power grid. Survivalnutrition.com.